looking for something. A new way, a new understanding, a connection, some comfort. You've got questions, and Light on Living puts the spotlight on all the answers so you can shine. Lift and lighten the load of life's challenges and learn simple and easy ways to live a healthy, happy life. You'll gain insight and start to see things in a new way that motivates you. You're invited to hear new, see different, and feel more as Lisa shines the light on living.
Well, hello, everybody. Welcome to Light on Living. I'm your host, Lisa Berry, and we are stepping into the first episode of the entire interview series. We're doing Beyond the Chapter series here, and the book that I, well, actually it's three books, but the book series that I have just fallen in love with, and it's a perfect timing. It's called Sacred Hearts Rising. And I have with me today, we're kicking this whole series off from today and through the entire month of April with the publisher, the compiler, the co-author, Brenda Hammond. So first of all, I would like to say welcome, Brenda, to the show.
Well, thank you. I'm so glad to be here. And again, thank you for having us.
Oh, it's been, I've just, this opportunity has allowed my heart to rise, and we'll go into that more, but I'm going to share with everybody who you are, and then I cannot wait to find out how this experience has been for you and how this came about when you, you know, just attract the right people who are ready to step up in that experience. But let me just, let's share with you. So everybody, Brenda Hammond is an Alberta-based philanthropist, entrepreneur, international speaker, international award-winning and best-selling author, goal setter, and big dreamer with a mission in life to create positive change for others. In 2004, Brenda became a full-time entrepreneur, and over the next 13 years, I guess it's a little longer now too, built companies that fit her passion for helping others achieve their dreams. I really want you guys to hear that. She built companies that fit her passion. This is a great way to lead by example. She is a vocal advocate for helping others overcome traumatic pasts. Brenda fully believes that when women share their stories and stand together, they can change the world to be a better place for all. And to that end, she launched Sacred Hearts Rising, which is a movement to bring awareness to traumatic events that sometimes plague us our whole lives, as well as compilation books for stories from women and men who have overcome seemingly insurmountable odds. She hosts a yearly event which hosts and inspires others to lead a better life. It really is all about a better life with you, it seems like. That's it.
Yes, it is.
Now, I'm going to have to ask that question. It sounds like you yourself have stepped into and chose and created and rose to a better life. Is that true?
Oh, very much so. If I hadn't shared my own story, I wouldn't be here talking to you today, and lots of things that have happened in my life would not have happened if I hadn't shared my own story.
Okay, there's so much in that, because I know there are people right now who are questioning, like, oh, do I share my story? Could it be worse if I shared my story? What will it even do if I share my story? Do you remember being in that place of your life?
Oh, yeah, oh, for sure. I had hoped that by sharing my story, I would have at least reached one person, one other woman like me who was hiding in the shadows, who was terrified of their past. And it dogged me. And I thought, you know, maybe I can turn all of this negative into a positive and at least help one other person. And that was truly my goal, was to try to help one other person.
I find that so beautiful, because you really were in it, and we can talk a little bit about it, however much you want to share, but you were in a bad place, but yet you were thinking about others. That's so loving, so compassionate at that time. Where did that come from?
Well, I had, for over 47 years, I had let my past dictate my present, and anytime anything happy was in my life, I would get a mini video clip of a certain scene that happened. And it didn't matter when. It just constantly came day in and day out, on my wedding day, when I gave birth to my daughters, you know, any time. It would just pop in with no warning. So I was literally constantly living in the past. And I had to figure out how I could stop that, how I could take all of the negativity and turn it into something positive. And that's when I decided to share my story and say, okay, enough is enough. I can't do this anymore.
Wow. I'm trying to think of, you know, like, and you're right. I love that you said that. It's like a movie clip that kind of pops up and out of nowhere. And at the most precious moments, really, too, like you said, getting married, giving birth. I mean, yeah, we don't want those bad moments or those things that we have fear around to show up then. And okay, this is awesome. Oh my gosh, I'm trying to imagine. So I'm trying to figure out, okay, if I had a moment like that, you know, which I'm sure I do. How would I have that courage to know? How did you know that by sharing? Did you know how to share it? That it was safe?
No, I didn't. And it all started because when my ex-husband had died, I was blamed for his death, and that's a whole different ball game there.
Yeah.
So I went to my doctor and I said, I think I'm going crazy, because I would hear things banging in my apartment, and I would hear noises all the time, and I mean, we were divorced for a very good reason, but he had stalked me when I was alive, and now it seemed like he was stalking me now that he was dead. So I went to the doctor and I thought, I'm going crazy. I need help. Like, you know, and I thought they were actually going to commit me.
Oh, wow.
She sent me to a grief counselor who started talking to me and soon realized that there was more than what was going on that I was willing to talk to her about. So through that process, we did what is called rapid eye movement therapy.
Oh.
And what that does is it kind of takes you back and takes you back to your childhood and things that were going on. And I couldn't actually speak the words. So she suggested that I start writing and journaling to get it all out. So I thought, oh, this is just going to be like, you know, a couple pages and it's going to be done. Well, 600 pages later.
Oh, my gosh. Wow.
I was in getting it all out. And she said to me after, she says, what are you going to do with it? I said, I don't know, maybe one day I'll publish it. And I set it in my closet and it sat there for 14 years.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, that shocked me. Oh, wow. 14 years. The writing of it, though, just getting it out, kind of like when they say, you know, you write your goals out, you put them on paper, did that change something inside of you?
It certainly did, and it made a huge difference just getting it out. But for me, and I think for the purpose that I had in my life, it wasn't enough. Mm. And then I met a lady who said, oh, you have a story to share. And I said, I do not. She says, oh, yes, you do. So, I never met this lady before in my life. But anyway, so I thought, well, maybe that is it. Maybe I'm supposed to actually share this. So wow. I took that 600-page book and I dialed it down and made a series of three. And I literally published the first book and I thought I was going to throw up.
Yes.
Because, you know, it's one thing to write it on paper and to acknowledge it and to deal with it internally. It's quite another thing to put it down on paper for the world to see and deal with it externally. And
yes,
that for me was when the greatest change happened, is when I released the story into the universe and said, let's make some changes here.
Okay, I had to take a big breath for that. Actually, that was intense because some authors have said to me before, you know, they're scared because they're thinking, oh goodness, what happens if nobody reads it? And then they're scared thinking, oh my gosh, what happens if everybody reads it? And
that's exactly it.
When you say, release, I love that you said that, because we release a movie, release a book, and you know, but you're saying I released it to the universe. And what was the biggest surprise that you got externally once you did put this out there and people read it?
I think that the biggest surprise was that people believed me.
Oh.
I mean, it wasn't just me in my memories. because, I mean, when you've been sexually abused and your perpetrators certainly don't want you to out them. So it's always been your fault, or you're just making it up, or, you know, you're just trying to get attention. You know, all of those classic things that people say to you when they don't want you to tell the truth, or to tell your truth, or to release their dirty little secrets that you've been burdened with your whole life. So
yes,
the surprise was that people believed me. Mm. And I think for anybody who shares their story, if you haven't had charges laid against a person and they haven't gone to court, it is your word against their word. And
right.
You've been taught, and it has been instilled in you, that nobody will believe you. Mm-hmm. And that's not true.
Yeah, and it's a lot of work to think, my gosh, I have to prove this, and I got to go into fight mode almost. Like, and that's, you're already pretty drained when you've been holding, like you said, somebody else's yeah. secret with you this whole time. I don't want to use the word drained, but I do. Empty. Yes. Like, were you empty feeling when you first went into that first counseling session?
I wasn't empty. I was guarded. And to say that I was, a better analogy is I was full. And people can be full of joy, and they can be full of happiness, and it just oozes out of their pores that they're just exuberantly happy. I was full with dread. I was full of fear. Mm. I was full of shame, and it literally oozed out. And I had to get rid of that because, well, you're full of shame and fear and guilt. Your body is reacting to that. It's like when you talk to a plant. You can talk to a plant and say, oh, you're beautiful, and caress it and love it. And then you can tell this other plant, you're ugly, you're worthless, you're no good. The plant that you tell the positive things to flourishes, while the other plant slowly dies. And it's the same in your body.
Yeah.
And I was slowly dying inside my body. I mean, I was getting all kinds of health concerns that were weird, like I had webs on my kidney. I don't even know what the heck a web on my kidney is, but, you know,
right. Yes.
Because I was holding all of this negative energy inside my body, and I had to get rid of it so that I could fill it up with positive.
That's so interesting that you said about, to me, a kidney represents, that's the fear organ, and you mentioned about fear and water. And so when we mentioned about crying, releasing, that's so interesting that there's a web around the kidney specifically. Did you go through a period of a lot of crying? I have to ask this now because you mentioned that. Were there tears? Were there anger? What emotions did you go through?
I didn't go through a lot of crying. I went through a lot of standing in front of the mirror and looking at myself and saying, you matter, and I believe you. And I did a lot of asking that inner child in me that had been so traumatized that I just said, I believe you, and I'm here for you, and I love you. Mm. And I just kept doing that. As I told the stories and purged the stuff. And so by the time it came to write the story, I had done a lot of that. But it was still a matter of, okay, now you're sending it out here. The world's going to read it. And now what? And how are you prepared?
Yeah.
And I must say that not everybody was happy that I shared my story. I mean, I certainly got some death threats and things like that.
Oh.
But it was a matter of, it doesn't matter. You can't hurt me anymore. What you've done, you've done your worst, and now you just can't hurt me anymore. Mm. And that was changing for me is, you know, do whatever you want to do. But, you know, if you want to come forward and tell the world that these are all lies, then go for it. Because right
yes.
now you're putting the focus on you and not on me.
That
so your perpetrators really won't say a word.
Really? Okay. Wow. This is huge because you're right. I remember going through difficult challenges in my life and thinking, well, I'm still alive, so I'm not going to die. I mean, so I'm just going to suffer. So what's the best way for me to get through this so that I'm not suffering? And I find that so you got to that point where you're like, you can't hurt me anymore. And I felt the power. I could actually hear the power in your voice as you said that. Like that, it sounds like you're standing in your power when you say that. You can't hurt me anymore.
Oh, for sure. The worst has already been done. And that's what I say to all of the authors when they're writing their stories. The worst has already been done to you physically and emotionally. There is nothing left that anybody can do to you. And now all you're doing is just walking through the ashes of your story and putting it together and telling the world, this is what has happened to me.
Walking through the ashes, that's quite the image. I love that you said, too, the worst has been done. It can only get better, which is I feel like that's where the Sacred Heart's rising from the ashes. Oh, my gosh. Yes. Oh, that's big. Okay. Actually, I know we've got about 20 seconds before commercial here, but when we do come back, that's actually something I would love for you to share with the listeners is that process of being there for these people, these women, these Sherry and men sharing their stories as they do walk through the ashes and how that looks and how were you able to be there for them? How did they go through that? So everybody hang tight. We're going to be returning to, as we continue the series here with Brenda Hammond, and the series is Sacred Hearts Rising Beyond the Chapter. So stay with us and come back.
Best of the holistic, spiritual, and conscious world. OM Times Radio, IOM FM. Being a radio host on IOM FM allows you to build your show on a rich platform with the power of the internet to fulfill your outreach goals and connect with a very specialized and global online audience, unlimited by time and distance. OM Times Radio will provide you with web relevance, a recognizable conscious brand, and with the standard of excellence that has accompanied every single OM Times endeavor. Host your show with OM Times Radio Network.
Have you bought into the idea that you have to work hard for your money, that business is hard? I will share some dynamic access consciousness tools to get you out of your own way so you can create a business that actually succeeds. Join me, Simone Millicers, on The Joy of Business at 4 p.m. Mondays Eastern.
Hi, it's Olivia Munn with my shelter pets, Frankie and Chance. Say hi, guys. When I adopted them, I discovered that they both have incredible personalities. Chance's sole purpose in life is to love and to be loved. Frankie is a little bit of a scoundrel and always entertaining. They're a little bit of a lot of things, but they're all pure love. Adopt pure love at theshelterpetproject.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council, the Humane Society of the United States, and Maddie's Fund.
Hi guys, welcome back. We are continuing the series, the Sacred Hearts Rising interview series, and we've got Brenda Hammond here. As you know, we've been listening to this, and wow, Brenda, I'm hearing just a little bits of your story and hearing how you really turn this around. Like, I mean, wow, like thinking about a lifetime of abuse and really scary abuse and then being accused and coming through that. But you've turned it around that you've literally helped like thousands of people because of the book series, the Sacred Hearts Rising series. And so many of the lovely, amazing, incredible people, the co-authors of the book, have said they cannot thank you enough for how you were there to support them. Did you take some, like, how do you know to how to support them? Just by opening your heart and loving them? Or how did you know to help each one to get through the writing process?
I think the important part was that they had to decide for themselves that they wanted to have a better life. I mean, the old analogy, you can drag a horse to water, but you can't make them drink. It's the same
yes.
with people sharing their stories. So they had to be willing, number one, that they wanted to share their stories and to move past it. And once they were able to do that, and once they were free to do that, then I think knowing that I had done it myself, and they had,
yes.
a lot of them had read parts of my own story, that gave them the courage to then step forward. And I think it was the fact that I heard them. Mm-hmm. And I told a lot of them, like, I hear you. I understand. You know, I know what you're going through. And when you have somebody who has already walked the walk and talked the talk, it's easier to relate to that person because you trust them. And yes. All of these people trusted me with their story, and I held that sacred in my heart of what they had gone through, because I know how devastating having those traumas are like, whether it's abuse of some form or illness or, you know, suicide. Like, it's all trauma, and being able to help them, I think, is the big thing. And I don't know why they trusted me, to be honest with you. I'm glad that they did, you know, because I'm not a counselor. I'm not anything. I'm just an ordinary, everyday woman who has had a lot of crap in her life, you know, from sexual abuse to mental abuse to having a murder contract put out on her life, you know, all of that sort of stuff. So I think because I had all of that, I was able to be an anchor for them.
And I think, and they're feeling, they can feel from you that judgment is really out the window, because you're not going to judge them because you've been through it. And I mean, that's what I feel from you, is that open heart. And yeah, like, you're kind of like the experienced, where you're like, well, she did it, then I can do it. There's hope in there, and there's belief.
That's the big thing. Yeah, there is no judgment. I mean, there is no judgment one way or another, and there is no story bigger than another. We are given these experiences in life, and somebody said to me one day, she said, if you could change anything, what would you change in your life? And I said, nothing. And she looked at me and said, you wouldn't change your past? And I said, my past is what's made me today. You know, all of those experiences, all of those trials and tribulations, as much as they were horrific and I wish they didn't happen, they did happen, and I can't wish them away, so I may as well turn all of that negative into something positive and realize that because of that, because of those experiences, I am a very strong and independent woman. And I wouldn't have had that. I would have been independent and all of that, but it would be different. I would be a different person. I can look at my siblings and say, I wouldn't trade my life for any of them. Even though all of this stuff has happened.
You know, I love that you said that now. It's made me think, right now, because you've done that healing, you've done, and now you're helping so many women, you know, somebody listening might say, well, she's already there. Of course she can say that. But would you have said that you wouldn't change a thing back then?
Yes.
Oh, nice. Yes. Okay. All right.
Because you can go through life going, what if, could have, should have, if it, and you waste your life on the what if. And for me, I knew this had happened. Did I like it? No, I certainly did not like it. I had a lot of challenges in my personality and how I viewed things and how I viewed people and how I trusted people. That was for sure. But I couldn't go back and change it. You know, as much as I wanted to, I couldn't go back and change it. So I didn't want to waste any energy going backwards. I wanted to put all of my energy going forwards. And I didn't know how I was going to do that. I just knew that I had to do it. And that's when I decided that I had to turn all of this negativity into something positive.
Yes, I love that you said that on the Facebook Live I did earlier just today. I literally said that, you know, if we want to make space for our hearts to rise, it's not about looking back. Like, you can't, because then your focus goes right back there. You can only truly look as on the space you want to create, the life you want, the better life that you want to have, so that you can move forward. And I love that you just said that. It's no matter if the listeners are sitting right now in the what they think is the worst time of their lives. We can't change it, so don't get stuck in there.
Yeah, don't dwell in the past. Don't live in the past. Live in the present and live for the future.
Yes, I love the live for the future. And that's like right now, a lot of people are thinking, well, what future and what does it even look like? And so you didn't know what your, well, wait, no, maybe you did. Let me ask you, did you know at that time when you made that decision, I want to look forward, I want to move ahead, did you have any kind of vision of goals or expectations or what you were working for or just better?
No, I had no idea. All I knew was that it had to be better than where I was at. Anything that I did would be better than where I was at. It was as simple as that. Right. Nothing can get worse than this. And I mean, even with the crisis we're going through with the coronavirus, you know, this is just a time and a phase in your life where things are happening, and we will get through this, and we will get through the other end, and we will be better for it. And why will we be better for it? Because right now we are spending time with our families. We are rediscovering who our children are, who our spouses are. You know, we're not spending money on things that we don't need because, A, the grocery stores are open, so you can't go out and you can't buy stuff. So, you know, bank accounts are not being depleted on unnecessary things. And relationships are being strengthened, hopefully, or you're realizing that, you know, we need to do some clear working on this relationship if we're going to survive. So I think when this is all done, we will be better people for it. And our relationships and our families and our friends will be better people for it.
Yes. And as you say that, I'm, you know, really focusing in on that. It's that strengthening of relationship with ourselves and with the people that are so close to us in our space, because now we're present, we're more present, and we're not relying on, you know, buying so many external things for distractions and enjoyment. But it doesn't have to be a certain story that stands, like, I don't want to say it's not just one particular, but what's an emotion, but kind of like a story that stands out to you where it was... like almost like not a miracle, but like really a beautiful story where one of the authors out of all, because you have so many, that like there's how many authors are in all series?
How many authors? We've got well over 60 some authors who have, and some of them have shared in more than one book because we all have more than one story. So we are well over 60 authors, and we have probably, I would say, probably about close to 70 different stories.
Wow.
So if I had to choose one person that I know that has made a fundamental change for that person, would have been Elizabeth Gagnon. And Elizabeth started following me after I released my book, Hear Me, I'm No Longer Silent. And she had reached out to me through the internet about sharing her story in the first Sacred Hearts Rising book. And we chatted, and I just said, I hear you, and I believe you. Mm-hmm. And that did it for Liz. I mean, that was the first time in her life somebody had said, I hear you, and I believe you. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that was a transformation for Liz. That's for sure. And I mean, she's written in all three books, different stories in each book. And Liz is working through her own journey and her own story. That is for sure. And I mean, this isn't a quick fix. I mean, sharing your story is just the first step in creating space in your heart for other things to come in. And she's probably the one that stands out the most, because it's now been three books for her, and I work with her for all three.
Yes. And actually, you know what, everybody listening, if you want to catch, well, all of them you would want to listen to, but we do have Elizabeth and Debbie coming out in week two. So that's next Monday. If you guys want to tune in, you're going to be able to hear Elizabeth and share her. You know what it is? Each interview, we actually go beyond the chapters, what I say. So you still have to buy the book, guys, and read the stories, but we get a little bit more personal not personal, but just beyond the chapter, beyond that story.
Yeah.
And you know, I love that you said writing the chapter is not the it's the first step, but there's so many more after that. And I just, oh, it's so perfect that you said writing the story is actually how we can make space for healing to happen. And I'm writing this, I'm actually writing that down because I love that is what I've talked about that in the live, like how do we make the space? Well, clearing out is one thing. And so by sharing and writing, now do any of the authors go and do, you have an event that you have once a year, but do they go out and do separate sharings about their chapters?
Oh, for sure. For sure. We have, several of the authors have gone on to write in other anthologies. Several of them have gone on to be hosts or directors for other events that women are sharing and talking about. One has her own clothing line that she has developed. And, you know, it does. It's like decluttering your closet and you take out all of the stuff that you don't ever wear anymore that are too small. You know, because, I mean, we know that in the wintertime, your clothes shrink. It's not that we get bigger, it's just that our clothes shrink. So
yes.
You have to go through your closet and you got to de-junk all of that stuff. Well, your heart and your mind is the same thing. So when you share your story, you're de-junking. You're cleaning out all of the stuff that no longer serves you. And when you do that, as you're taking that out, you're able to put in new things that do serve you. And when you share your story, you're removing pieces of that stuff out of you so that new stuff can come in and new experiences and new opportunities can come in. Because while you're hanging on to that story and living in the past, you can't move forward.
Right. And, you know, we actually operate from those old stories, right? So I guess we start – do you notice that there – we fundamentally, I like that you use that word, once we release that story, share the story, heal that story, that we start acting differently, like making different decisions?
Oh, yes. Yes, for sure. For sure. You do make a lot of different decisions and a lot of opportunities open up to you that were never there before. And they weren't there before because you were too busy looking behind you instead of forward. So everybody comes to that cross in the road where they can say, well, do I want to share this story or not? Because this is the road that I'm on and this is the road that I know. And though the road has potholes and pits and dragons and demons on the road, I know the road. So do I want to really go down this new road that I don't know about?
Yeah.
A lot of them say yes. They want that new experience.
There's a lot of brave people. Definitely
there are a lot of brave people.
Yeah. What is the event like, the event that you host once a year?
The Summit is an event where we honor our stories, and it's not about the books. It's about our stories. And we have speakers that speak on the stage, and all of the speakers and everything have to be inspirational. So we ask that you don't go on the stage and tell your story and then dump it on everybody and then walk off. It's just like in the book. All of the stories have to be inspirational. Nobody wants to read the poor me story, you know, I'm wallowing in self-pity and things like that. People want to know, if I'm going to read your story, what your story is about and how you got out of it. And because they want to be able to follow those footsteps of how to get out of the quagmire that they're in. So the event is the same way. Speakers are on the stage. We have performers. We have singers. We have a lot of fun. We have a silent auction that the money is collected and it goes to charities. And we always choose grassroots charities. We want to send the money to places where we know the money is going to be fundamentally given directly to the people that it is a need, instead of to administration and organizations and things like that. So we pick grassroots companies for that, and we try to give locally to anybody that requires the money for shelters and things like that, or whatever is required there. And we give to an orphanage in Mexico. Mm. We chose this orphanage because it has no government funding, and the kids are literally living on the streets because their parents have been incarcerated for being drug mules or whatever. Mm-hmm. So they literally have nothing. And we know that when we collect money and we send it to this orphanage, that it is for the orphanage. So pillows are being bought for the metal beds and blankets and things that we take for granted mm-hmm. that they should have, they don't have. You know, they don't even have a name tag that says their name. So we've chosen that one to give to help create the change in the world so that these kids know that there are people out there that actually care about them. Even though they've never met them, they care about them, and they care that they will become, you know, vibrant, beautiful human beings that are going to pay it forward one day.
I think that was, first of all, thank you for doing that. I mean, that's a heart thank you. Like our hearts can open up and feel that. And there's something that's so special in there that I just picked up is that you just said that they know that they matter, that they're loved, even though other people don't know them. And I think that's what I feel. That's how you've helped the authors write their chapters, to say that each person may not yet know themselves because they're being mean to them or they don't know them yet, but they can find that self-love when somebody else shows up to love them too, like what you do. You're recognizing them.
Yeah, that's the biggest thing. And how can we change this world to be a better place? By helping the children of the world in lots of ways, and by helping people like me, women and men like me, that have lived in their past. We're not dinosaurs. We can contribute a lot to the world yet, even in our later stages of life. And we matter. We matter just as much as the younger generation and the children of the world. The adults of the world matter because we make decisions that are going to affect the younger generations of the world. So let us be in a good place. Let us have our heart full and our bodies full of the positive instead of the dredges of the past. We can make those better choices for the next generation and for the rest of our lives.
I know the impact is huge. Well, everybody, as we slip away to commercial, we'll be right back, and we're going to continue this conversation from Sacred Hearts Rising interview series with Brenda Hammond. And I know we've got some really helpful things coming up still too, and how to help you make space for your heart to rise.
The best of holistic, spiritual, and conscious world. Om Times Radio. IOM FM. Om Times Magazine is one of the leading online content providers of positivity, wellness, and personal empowerment. A philanthropic organization, their net proceeds are funneled to support worldwide charity initiatives via Humanity Healing International. Through their commitment to creating community and providing conscious content, they aspire to uplift humanity on a global scale. Om Times, co-creating a more conscious lifestyle.
Perfect way to get to know your partner, yourself, and love more deeply. Download and join today.
Mind connected to the heart, connected to the love, connected to the soul. I'm connected to you, connected to me.
Hi, this is David Strickle. I'm excited to share my brand new show, The Stream of David Live, right here on Om Times Radio. Each week, I'll have exciting guests, and I'll channel the eternal wisdom of The Stream, a group of non-physical entities whose teachings have transformed lives all over the world. So join us for an uplifting hour each Monday at 5 p.m. Eastern. That's The Stream of David Live, right here on Om Times Radio.
Mother, Mother Ocean.
Hi, I'm Jimmy Buffett.
West Indian manatees are one of the most unique animals on Earth, and we're still finding out so many new things about them. But manatees are endangered, and many of them are killed or injured each year because of watercraft collisions or other human activities. You can help save these gentle marine mammals. For free tips on what you can do, call Save the Manatee Club at 1-800-432-JOIN. Thank you.
I'm so glad that you guys are here with us on Light on Living. I'm your host, Lisa Berry, and I am here with Brenda Hammond as we are really having this, I think, this great conversation about what it takes to, yes, have your Sacred Heart Rise, that's Sacred Heart Rising series, but to make that space. And, you know, I'm listening to the commercials, Brenda, and, you know, I'm having those clips go through, flashback into my mind. And my personal question is, you know, I've been in abusive relationships before, and I remember the one thing I kept saying to myself was, I won't be here forever. I know it. But I just didn't know when or how I could leave or be free or do whatever. And it probably took too long. I don't know. Do you believe that, I guess my question is, I knew that I just wasn't going to be there forever, but I was scared to leave. So how do we know when we're really truly ready or not ready, or is it fear holding us back?
I think for me, in my relationship, and I'll give you just a tiny background. I mean, I was abused when I was a child, sexually abused. And then I married a man that I thought was going to be there to protect me. And he knew, because I had told him that I had been abused, and because I felt that because I was abused, I had a black stain on my soul. And mm-hmm. I told him, I says, well, you know, do you really want to marry me? Because this is what's happened to me. And, you know, and I would have to wear black wedding dress. And, you know, it had really affected me in that way. Yeah. So he said yes, and we got married. And little did I know that he was probably a little bit of a psychopath, would be an understatement. But we stayed married for 21 years, and he never once hit me, but he was very emotionally and mentally abusive. And I knew that through all of his cheating and his lying and things like that, he kept saying, well, you have no proof. You have no proof. Mm. And at that time, if you wanted to get a divorce, you know, adultery was one of the big things that you could get a divorce on. And if you didn't have proof, then you couldn't prove that. So over the years, I just kept watching and knowing things. And then when I tried to leave, I mean, he stopped the Greyhound bus that I was on and dragged me off by my hair, and nobody stopped him. Oh. You know, the bus driver never stopped him. Nobody stopped him. So I knew that there was nobody out there that was going to be able to help me. I mean, my parents didn't know what was going on. His mother was very much like him, so apples and trees, you know, that old saying. Mm-hmm. So I had to, probably when my girls were in grade 10, and I had got all of the information again that he was cheating and he was phoning the 1-800 sex lines and visiting prostitutes and things like that. I just looked at him one day and I said, in 2 years, I'm gone. Oh. And that was it. Nothing ever was said again. And those 2 years went by and I planned my escape, because I knew that our daughters would be 18, so there wouldn't be any custody battles.
Right.
And I literally worked that way. And I got a job, and I had 3 horses in training at the time that were probably about 7 hours away from where I lived. So I would go on the weekends and ride the horses, each of them 3 times. So I'd ride Friday night, and I would ride 2, and then I would ride 3 on Saturday, and now I'd ride again on Sunday before I drove 7 hours home. Mm-hmm. So I said to him, I said, you know, maybe I should probably move closer to where the horses are, you know, now that the girls have graduated. And he said, yeah, sure, because he was, again, traveling and seeing all of his women that he was seeing, so it was fine with him. He thought that we were still going to stay together.
But yes.
In my mind, there was no way in hell that this was ever going to happen. So once I got out, you know, and I had bought secondhand furniture, so all of the furniture stayed in our house for our daughters, and I literally just bought the secondhand stuff, and I had a mattress that sat on the bed, on the floor. That was my bed, and that's how I escaped. And then probably about through the winter, the following spring, he announced that he was moving in with me. And I just said, no, you're not. And he came to my apartment, because now I lived where the horses were. And he insisted that he was going to move in with me, and he stayed the night because there was no way I could get him out. And he crawled into bed, you know, naked, and I laid on the bed with my clothes on, and I thought, this is not happening. I am not allowing this to happen. And in the morning, you know, he finally left, and because I had said to him, I said, I want a divorce. And you know, when you're really nervous, like for me, when I'm really, really nervous, I start to, my face starts to contract, and it looks like I'm smiling. You know, because you're really nervous.
Yes.
And that's what it looked like. You know, I'm telling him I want a divorce, and my face is contracting into a smile because I'm scared to death.
You know,
so he's assuming that I'm kind of smirking about all of this, and in reality, I was actually terrified because I wasn't sure what he was going to do.
Yes. Yeah.
So after that, he then started to stalk me. He broke into the apartment. I moved. He was threatening to shoot the horses, and he was threatening to shoot me, and then he stalked me throughout that whole period of waiting a year for a divorce, because that's how I filed it, and living in my car, because he was, like, he literally went out of control, and restraining orders didn't help, none of that sort of stuff. But you get to a point where you say, I cannot do this anymore. And because my kids were older, I thought that they would be safer because of it. But in reality, they weren't, you know, because now they were out of my control, out of my influence, because now they're 18. So my advice to anybody that are looking at leaving is, don't wait because your kids will be older, or don't wait for this. You know, if you can, and you can plan your escape, then do it before it's too late. And I mean, and I was 21 years before I finally made my escape. But boy, I'm telling you, for 3 years, from the time that I filed for divorce and waiting for the divorce and waiting for the settlement, I mean, it was 3 years of pure terror and pure hell.
Yeah. I'm so happy that you made it through there. I know not to say I'm sorry you went through that, because you know what? I'm happy that you made it through, is what I'm so excited to share. And I'm so happy that you're able to stand with such courage and groundedness today, right now, even on this interview, to share with people and say, this is my advice. And I love that you shared, you know what? To become prepared. You took the time to be prepared. You made a statement. You followed through on the plan. And I love that you said, I am not allowing this to happen. And I think that commitment and that, you know, that was for you to hear it, because he's not hearing it. You know, that doesn't mean anything to him, but you said it out loud. And do you think there's a lot to it when we say things out loud versus just having them in there?
Oh, yeah. When you say things out loud, You are making a declaration to yourself.
Yes.
And you're making a declaration to that person. Now, you know, he was very unstable in his thinking and things like that. And that proved to be very accurate after I had filed for divorce. But standing up and saying that, and then for me, giving 2 years while I planned everything, and, you know, the phone calls would come and all of that sort of stuff, and the bills would come in from lingerie he bought that wasn't for me, and, you know, things like that. I never said a word. I never acknowledged it. I would just hand it to him and say, I think this is for you. It's not for me. You know, and I just kept doing that. And because I didn't say anything, because I didn't rag on him or I didn't do any of that sort of stuff, then he assumed that she forgot about it. Oh, I have whipped her into shape and now I can do whatever I want and there's nothing she's going to say or do about it. Like, you know, ha, ha, ha. Well, little did he know.
Yes.
You know, little did he know.
Yeah.
And you know, for me, that's what I had to do. Like, you know, it was over. It was the day that I said that I was leaving in 2 years, like it was done.
Yes.
So I didn't need to correspond with him anymore. I didn't need to make idle chit chat. I didn't need to make his life, you know, rosy as the good wife. I just went on with my life, even though he was still living in the same house.
I love that. I love that you said the word declaration. You declared your freedom and ownership of yourself. You declared that. That's so powerful. And I that's what I really want to highlight right now is not just, yes, for the listeners right now, what would you like to declare? What is it you want? Your heart is saying, I want to declare this so that my heart can rise. And to share with you that we've got like 8 more authors, co-authors of these series, coming on to share with us what they have declared, what they declared back then, and then how they got through it. And I'm so excited for everybody to keep joining and listening to this, Brenda, because, you know, you've really created something special. And this particular group of authors really feels your support. And I can honestly say that you're right. Every one of these authors said that Brenda heard me and believed me. And that's quite the... that's an honorable thing to really have a lot of people, so many people say about you.
And yes, it is. I'm honored.
Yes. Yeah. And I would love to say, I call it a business sense, but I guess it is. You get to do, like you said, you started businesses that, you know, are in alignment with your heart, that fit your heart's purpose. So are you still collecting and people can reach out to you with stories if they would like to share a story?
Yeah, we're still compiling. I mean, book number 4 will probably not go ahead for a couple of years.
Yes.
We'll just be waiting for authors who want to come on board. We have lots who say, yes, I want to, and then they back away. So as a business, I have to be very careful. So because, you know, you have to have so many authors for each book in order for the book to be able to be successful. And I want every book to be successful. I want every book to be a bestseller or an international bestseller, because that is helping those people that have shared their stories. Because now they can say, I'm an international or I'm a bestselling author. And it gives them power, you know. And so I want to be very, very careful when I'm doing the books, that each of them are going to be exactly that, and that the stories are going to be stories that are going to be able to help other people. So it is a bit daunting finding people who are ready to share their story and to stand in their truth of who they are and not to let their past affect them. And I think what's happening right now with, especially in Alberta, the economy and the pandemic and everything that's going on, people are more fearful right now than they've ever been in their lives. And it's due to external forces that they're more fearful. So once that gets over and done with and the earth starts to settle down and people start to settle into their groove again, then we'll look at doing another set of books. We're going to put number 3, and then we'll, if people are reaching out to me, certainly they go on to the list of people who want to share their stories.
Does it harm the healing for a person to write a chapter anonymously, or do you recommend people, even if that's as best they can do, or say no, you're not ready then yet?
No, people can write anonymously. I mean, everybody has a different reason why. And when I wrote my books, I wrote the first book in my married name because nobody knew who I was.
Ah,
in my married name, in my second marriage. And I changed all of the people's names and relationships, you know, because I had incest also. in along with sexual abuse from an outside person. So I changed all of those things, not to protect them, but to protect the innocence of their families. So if somebody wants to write as an alias, then they have to, writing as an alias is good and bad. And when I wrote as in my married name, it wasn't as powerful for me as when I wrote in my maiden name, which is Hammond. And gotcha. Because that's who I am. That's fundamentally who I am. So if somebody wants to write in an alias, then they have to remain that alias, and then nobody will know who they are.
Right.
So yeah. They can write as an alias if they want, but in the long run, who are you?
Yeah.
Like, really, who are you?
Yeah.
And I often say you need to stand in your power and write in your married name or write in your maiden name. And a lot of them have written in their maiden names. Mm-hmm. And they've changed the names of the people in their stories.
Okay.
But, and I write that in all of the books. I say the names may be changed and places may be changed, but what has happened to each of these people has not changed.
Yes.
It's irrelevant if I lived in Ohio or Timbuktu. Mm. It's irrelevant where I lived.
Yes. I'm so glad you shared that. That makes a beautiful invitation, and I hope that everybody reaches out. We're going to be putting all the links on the Facebook, so if anybody listening to the show wants to get in touch with Brenda or be a part in some way, buying the book, you know, Sacred Hearts Rising, the whole series, then thank you so much. Thank you, Brenda, first of all. I know time went by so fast, but thank you, Brenda, so much for sharing not only this hour with me, but with all your co-authors for the next month.
Well, thank you for having us, and I was so honored that you asked. So thank you.
Oh, thank you. Everybody, go get the book, read the stories, open your hearts, let them rise, and see if it's maybe time that you shared your story.